Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Is all bow in prayer, seeking the Lord's face even now. Lord, our most gracious, eternal, loving, heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can call Thee our Father because of that everlasting, indissoluble union with our Saviour and our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for this opportunity afforded to us, even whereby we can cry, Abba, Father, even in this public setting. And Lord, we pray for Thy help. We pray especially for the ministry of Thy word. We pray for the Reverend Ian Brown, that Thou wilt fill Thy servant full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Lord, that Thou wilt further bless in the preaching of God's word, for it is the entrance of Thy word that giveth light. We pray for the congregational singing. Lord, that Thou wilt bless us there. And Lord, that we would worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, may none be seen but Jesus only, and hide man behind the cross. We ask all these things in our Saviour's precious name, and for our Saviour's sake. Amen. Amen. Turning in our Bible reading to 2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning our reading at verse 9, let us hear God's word. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and said, How shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him. because of the Ark of God. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. Turning to verse 15, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now, verses 17 to 19, and they brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to every one a cake of bread, and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone, to his house. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 19, and knowing that God will indeed bless this, the reading of his word, as he's promised, and he's declared even to do so. Turning to our hymn books, turning to Abide With Me. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Brian, for leading the service. We're now coming back to the passage read together, 2 Samuel, and to the chapter 6. We'll read again verse 10 and verse 11, which say, "So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household." To the Israelite, no other object captivated his heart quite like the ark of the covenant of the Lord. It only was a small wooden chest, some 3 feet 9 inches in length, 2 feet 3 inches in both width and height. Of course, if you're into the metric, then we're talking 120 by 70 by 70 centimeters. And this rectangular box was covered over with plates of gold. The Ark of the Covenant has been popularized in more recent times by the action adventure, Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Of course, this Lost Ark remains lost, most probably destroyed or determined missing without trace when the Babylonians sacked Jerusalem and reduced its temple to rubble in 587 BC. Had the Jews hidden it back then and put it in storage, kept it safely, there is no doubt they would have brought it back again and used it as that centerpiece in the second temple. But it never appeared again. Inside this Ark of the Covenant was a golden pot containing manna, the rod that belonged to Aaron, and a copy of the Ten Commandments, and they were all in their own way pointers to God's provision, God's power, and God's precepts. On top of the ark, on prominent display, was the mercy seat. This was a special ark, and it was made special not because of outward beauty or its imposing dimensions. A bit like our Savior in Isaiah 53, there was no beauty in him that we should desire him, but it was beautiful and wonderful because of what that ark represented to every Israelite mind. You see, this Ark of the Covenant was an emblem of and a picture of Christ. It spoke of his presence, his power, and the prosperity of the Lord himself. And so viewing it, every true son and daughter of Israel would have been looking not just at what was a gold-plated rectangular box, but they would have looked away beyond that, and they would have been struck by the message coming through in this piece of furniture in the tabernacle, and they would have thought, do you know what it says to me? I need in my life the presence of the Lord with me at every step of my earthly journey. Elizabeth Edwards put it like this, "I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me and his arm around me thrown." That's the central lesson we're going to take out of 2 Samuel chapter 6, the verse 10 and the verse 11 on this occasion. The necessity of the presence of our God with us at all times. Consider as our first head today the reception of the ark into the house of Obed-Edom. The reception of the ark into the house of Obed-Edom. We come to verse 10 of 2 Samuel 6, where we read, "David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months." So here's a man in Israel Obed-Edom, and he throws open the doors of his house to let the ark of God enter in. He was delighted to have that ark in his home. Really passionate about it. What a privilege and what a pleasure to have this in my house. I love to read and quote from Reverend Robert Hawker, an old Anglican from Plymouth many years ago, but always sees Christ in the Scripture. And he said of this particular record in 2 Samuel 6, "Reader, the ark evidently typified Christ. Whoever, like Obed-Edom, receives a whole Christ into his house, into his heart, the Lord Jehovah will bless that man, that house, that family, for Jesus' sake." And then Hawker makes an appeal, it's really a prayer here, "O precious Redeemer, come thou and make thy abode in my house, my heart, and all that belong to me." It's very wise, of course, and we know that, to receive Christ into the heart, to accept him as liberator or savior, to respond by his grace and power to those loving entreaties that he sends our way, such as, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," Matthew 11 and the verse 28. Can you testify to a time in your life when you came humbly to Christ as poor, lost, broken sinners, as those unable to raise a hand or even flex a muscle to assist in the work of saving yourself? In redemption over repentance over sin you came. In reliance upon the finished work of blood upon the cross of Calvary you came. And Christ entered into your heart, cleansed you, made you spiritually alive by his mighty power. Of course, we realize that to welcome Christ into the heart is not only to accept him as liberator, but it is to acknowledge him as Lord. He is to become the supreme governor and guide of our lives. Lord in our hearts, certainly, but also Lord in our homes as well. An old child of God used to live about three stories up in a tenement block in one of the less affluent areas in that imposing granite city in Scotland called Aberdeen. She was well known for her joyful spirit, and that was in spite of living in the middle of poverty and sickness, but she was always radiant with the joy of the Lord Jesus. On one occasion, an evangelist, he's preaching in the Gordon Mission in Aberdeen, and he was told about the lady, and he thought, "I really want to go and visit that woman." And so he comes and he goes in and he catches right away her bright, radiant face. Despite what he sees on every hand, all the evident tokens of poverty around her. And he said to her, "My dear sister, they tell me the Lord Jesus visits this place." "No, no, my son," she said as she looked him in the eye, "you're wrong." And he imagined what some ministers probably do, and this lady, you know, given her age, she's a little bit hard of hearing here, so I'll come closer, I'll speak more loudly, and that's exactly what he did, and he repeated it. "My dear sister, they tell me the Lord Jesus visits this place." And she shook her head again, and she said, "You're wrong, you're wrong. He abides here." It was the desire, as we know, of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus: abide with us. This must be our desire and also our earnest prayer. So we have the reception of the Ark of the Lord into the house of Obed-Edom. But then you'll note in the second place that we're looking at this thought, the rewards from the Ark of the Lord being in the house of Obed-Edom. The rewards from the Ark of the Lord being in the house of Obed-Edom. In the next verse, in verse 11 of 2 Samuel chapter 6, "And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household." You can go on a trail to check out the evidence that God really blessed this man and also the members of his house. But you have to travel outside of 2 Samuel into the book of 1 Chronicles. And when you come down to chapter 15 in the book of 1 Chronicles, verse 16 through to the verse 28, you'll see a couple of things. Obed-Edom is chosen from among the number of the Levites to lead the praises of the children of Israel on the harp. In addition to that, he's given another appointment as one of the doorkeepers for the ark. He's in charge of the ark again. That was the evidence of blessing. And you can, in time, as he did here, take the ark of the Lord out of this man's house, but you're not going to separate him from the ark of the Lord. We must always have the presence of our Lord Jesus. Then when you go further in 1 Chronicles, down to the chapter 26, the verse 4 through to the verse 8, you read about three generations of this man's family. And all 62 persons are described as mighty men of valor, able men for the strength of the service of the Lord. It's quite remarkable to get a whole succession of men traveling down through the family line and they're engaged in the blessed service of the Lord. This ark was only 3 months in the house of Obed-Edom, but the blessings from its presence there extended over three generations at least, and that is marvelous. There's a cue and a challenge for us right here. May we today pass the biblical baton on to the generations coming after us. And may God's gracious Spirit make them pro-Bible and pro-God and pro-Christ and pro-gospel and pro-life and pro-traditional biblical marriage. For these are blessings lining the right path. Anything outside of this brings judgment. With good warrant, one old preacher said, "The ark is a guest which none shall lose by that bid it welcome." And we can say the same about Christ. All kinds of high and holy blessings are to be found in our Savior. Ephesians 1 and 3, many other passages. He is the fountainhead of all true blessing. As long as Christ remains the Lord of our hearts and the Lord of our home, those choicest blessings can be enjoyed. I still hear the incredibly rich baritone voice of George Beverly Shea, coming from our old record player so many years ago, as you could well imagine. Oh, that old-fashioned home to which Jesus would come. It was dearer than all else beside. And I'm praying each day just to live Jesus' way, that the Lord in my home may abide. The reception of the Ark of the Lord into the house of Obed-Edom, the rewards from the Ark of the Lord being in the house of Obed-Edom, the final thought, the revival through the Ark of the Lord being in the house of Obed-Edom. The revival through the Ark of the Lord being in the house of Obed-Edom. As we travel down the chapter in 2 Kings 6, we immediately discover that the family of Obed-Edom weren't the only people to benefit from the sojourn of the Ark of the Covenant in their home. You see, what happened was this. The news that this family and this household has received such wonderful blessings spread. And it spread like wildfire from one corner of the country to the other, from the pauper's hovel right up to the palace of the king. And it wasn't long before David and the people come down, and they're congregating around the house of Obed-Edom because they wanted to see the blessing at first hand. And more than that, not only did they want to see it, they wanted to share in the blessing, and share in it they did. Verse 12 through 19 of 2 Samuel 6, make it plain the whole nation had a part in the general blessing. In fact, it's no exaggeration to say that the 3 months' stay of God's ark in the house of Obed-Edom sparked off a nationwide revival. When revival came to Ulster in 1859, it swept in like a mighty flood. People were beginning to determine, I am going to go, no matter where it takes, I am going to be in the place where God is pouring out the blessing. Take one example. The East Antrim town of Ballycarry. Reverend John Stewart describes it. The first effect of the revival was that fear came upon every soul. Then was our church filled to suffocation, and we were obliged to take to the open fields to declare the message of mercy to a hungering and thirsting population. The hitherto unoccupied pews were ardently sought after. All were engaged. The aisles were filled with anxious hearers. They came to the sanctuary on the sole errand of obtaining the bread of life. Every Sabbath was a day of sweet refreshing. In David and Obed-Edom's day, as in 1859, there was joy that broke out among the people. Gladness that they expressed here in singing and shouting, in the sound of the trumpet as it's blaring out those terrific notes of victory, and then their sacrifice to the Lord. His name was praised, his person was glorified. They may as well have been singing, Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. That's what it's all about, is it not? Bringing glory to our God, our primary purpose in being here, and having that gladness in our hearts. Surely our prayer tonight is, abide with me. Fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the visitation of this ark to the house and household of Obed-Edom. Brought the presence, the power, and the prosperity of God to his home and to his family. Lord, how we covet that. How we don't want to be separated from thee, but enjoy more and more of thy blessed fullness. Send revival again to every heart and to every home. May Christ once more be welcomed. May he be enthroned as Lord of all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.